This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 106, McBonnell here with you. 1 hour down, 4 more to go in our 5 hour midnight ride as we take it to the warm up show. A lot on the football, and, you know, obviously the quarterback, much to the chagrin of the Jets' new head coach, Aaron Glenn, the quarterbacks have been the topic of conversation here as we get ready for the combine. Matthew Stafford out there, obviously. The Giants looking at possibly drafting either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders with the top third pick in the draft. The Jets have the 7th pick. Some drafts, I mean, Mel Kiper, his latest mock draft has Shedeur Sanders falling all the way to 7 and being taken by the New York Jets, who, again, you heard the clip right there. I just thought Aaron Glenn came off terribly, man. Can you imagine another, like, if this was last year or, you know, and Robert Saleh addressed the media talking about, you know, it just pisses me off. This is what we're talking about. I got great players left and right. And this is what we're talking about. Just, you know, hey, just pisses me off. Like, what do you, he opened the press conference and talking about how happy he was to be the Jets head coach. It didn't sound like that from that moment on. Hey, I'm just happy to be the Jets head coach. Now let me be pissed off and adversarial the entire time. I thought Aaron Glenn came off terrible. He had a great opening press conference. I thought this time, this media session today at the Combine was a bad one for Glenn. And a bad one for the Jets, who, to me, are not making any sense. It's about winning now, but let's not talk about the quarterback position. And then as far as the Giants go, I don't know if I would not bring in Matthew Stafford. I don't think the Giants roster, offensive line aside, not just the offensive line, the entire team, I don't know if they're good enough to win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years. And that's what you want. That's what you're hoping for when you bring in Matthew Stafford. And it's not the best way to build your team, trading for a 37-year-old quarterback right now. Like, I thought the Jets roster was in a position where it made sense to go get Aaron Rodgers. Plus, they're dealing with the longest playoff drought in professional sports. Like, they're in a different position. I don't think the Giants, I know the Giants haven't won in the last decade. I know it's you could argue even with the playoff appearance, it's almost as ugly, if not just as ugly, as the Jets situation. But they do have that playoff appearance. They do have a playoff victory. And I'm not saying that that makes them any better or pisses me off any more than a Jet fan is pissed off as a Giant fan. But at the same time, it just feels a little different. Plus, the roster's not quite as good. I do think there are some players offensively, and obviously Dexter Lawrence and, you know, Burns can get after the quarterback, but and Dexter's one of the best interior defensive linemen in the sport. They've got a couple of young defensive backs in, you know, Drew Phillips, to name one, like, that have really come on after being drafted last year and had a good rookie season. So, like, there's some talent there. I don't know if it's good enough to bring in a veteran quarterback, pay him a ton of money over the next 3 years, and chase a championship. Even Joe Shane said it in his press conference, and I agree with him, and we've talked about this a lot. He said, ultimately, yes, if you believe in a quarterback, you draft a quarterback, you don't have to pay him any money. He's on a rookie contract for the next at least 4 years, and then you take that money and build around him. I think that is a far better option for the New York Giants. Plus, like, I can't get past the fact that I'm waiting for, you know, Dable to get his hands on a young quarterback and see if we hired a coach that actually is good at the thing we hired him for. Now, if they trade for Matthew Stafford, I'll be excited because the Giants have a chance to be pretty good, at least serviceable, at least in the, you know, on the right-hand side of the screen when they show the in the mix column for the playoff. They should be there all year, even if they don't make the playoffs. I mean, that's the level of play that Matthew Stafford provides at the quarterback position, and that's what they should be, even in a tough division with the Super Bowl champs and the Washington Commanders with Jaden Daniels, who went to the NFC Championship game last year. Tough division, obviously. Cowboys as well, who are always somewhat good. I think they're going to take a step back, clearly, but that's a tough division, but still, and a tough home schedule for sure for the New York Giants this year. But with Matthew Stafford, they should win 8-9 games at the bare minimum. 7-8-9 games, be serviceable, score some points. Malik Nabers should really, you know, take off and really develop with a veteran quarterback the likes of Matthew Stafford. But ultimately, that's a win-now move, and I just don't view the Giants as a win-now team. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you, Eddie?
All right. Well, a couple of questions. First on Stafford, what do you think the over and under for the trade will be? How high of a draft pick? Whoever takes
it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you get a one. Plus, remember, you got to pay him $50 million. I would think, you know, maybe a two and a three. I don't know. We got to see what some of the talking points are. I would not give up a first-round pick for him. So
yeah.
I think the best you're going to get is a 2+. You're not going to get a 1.
Right. And, I look at it this way. I know you say don't trade down and don't do this and don't do that. But next year's quarterback class is a lot better. There's like 5 guys that are going in the first round that are, you know, a lot better even than the top 2 picks this year. So I think they're going to trade down because this Shane, he's too relaxed to be one, and he has to get it done this year. I think he's told already, position yourself to go after Manning next year or Drew Adler and present, because I think they're going to trade down. You know, you think that you have to have a quarterback to save this year? Why?
I didn't say you have to have a quarterback to save this year. Well, I mean, you have to either win to save their jobs, right? That was what the caller said to me.
Not if Mara tells them to eye up Manning.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and they trade down, Eddie, then I can't their job.
I can't. You know, you want to speak to made up conversations in your mind that are taking place. I have no idea. You think he told after that press conference he had, or the way he spoke to the media after the Giants made the decision to keep Shane and Dable? You think Mara told him it's okay to lose this year because we'll get a better quarterback next year? You believe that?
I believe that they're going to target Manning.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, 2 years ago. 2 years ago, you told me that they were going to target a quarterback with the 6th overall pick.
I said it was very likely, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you were doing a scenario that they were talking about going after a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told you that they weren't, and they didn't.
Right.
So if I was the owner of the team, and I didn't like these 2 quarterbacks for my franchise, and I have a history with the Mannings, okay?
Manning is going to come out in the draft next year. Like you just said, there's like 5 quarterbacks. What if he has an okay year at Texas and he's the 5th quarterback coming out? What if he stays another year and he could be the first pick in this following year?
They already have him projected overall 1. Why wouldn't he come out?
Because he's got to play the season, Eddie. Like, you have no idea. You've got this guy projected better than this, and next year there's this many quarterbacks and blah. Like, we have no idea. We have no idea. The year's got to play out. And that's just, and that, like, the Jets can't, the Giants can't view it like that. What if the Giants this year, because the coach is coaching for his job, win 7 or 8 games and are drafting 13th? How are they going to get that quarterback? You can't guarantee losses. Like, you can't. And who knows?
You know how you do it, Chris?
How?
You trade down from the third and you pick up an extra first or an extra second and you position yourself. And you go after the Penn State quarterback. Or the best available.
Because the last time we saw him, he was there. The last time we saw Adler, he was just glorious. Aller, I'm sorry. Yeah, you said Adler. I'm following suit. My bad. Aller.
Yeah, obviously, you haven't watched him very closely.
I have watched him fairly closely, and I watched the hell out of him in that last game, and he was really bad.
And if you were Matthew Stafford, why would you want to come to New York when you have Pittsburgh and you have Indianapolis? And you have teams that have some dog in the fight that they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Giants don't show you they got any dog in the fight.
100%.
The defense don't even show up.
I never said that he wanted to come to New York, other than his wife, I think, would want to come to New York. And you'd have to tell me those other teams are willing to trade for him and pay him $50 million. If Pittsburgh's not willing to do that, if the Colts aren't willing to do that, if any other team is not willing to do that and the Giants are, I think he would come here. I think he wants his money.
He's gonna get his money.
Okay.
I think he wants to win, Chris.
No, I think
wouldn't you want to win?
What
would be more important to you? $45 million and the playoffs and the Super Bowl, or $50 million in the bottom of the division?
I don't know. I'm not him. He's the one making $40 million right now, talking about being disrespected.
And what about the defensive end, the fifth-year option on him? What do you want to do with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they're probably going to end up picking it up.
Terrible pick. That guy came in. Yeah. He was going to be the next Lawrence Taylor.
Well, I don't know about
that.
Nobody thought that of him. That's unfair. I don't.
He thought that.
Well, everyone thinks that. Shedeur Sanders thinks he's going to come in and be the next Peyton Manning. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. He's been an okay player. He has not been worth his position, his draft slot. There's no question about that. I totally agree with you. I think Thibodeau has been a little bit better than some people say. I don't think he's been a bust. I don't think bust is strong. I think bust is too strong a word. If he was a second-round pick, we'd all be somewhat happy with his play. But he's a top 10 pick, and he has not played like that. That is true. I still don't know what else you do with him. I think they probably pick up his fifth-year option because they could use him, and he's still a serviceable player. You can't play this game of attacking next year's draft. You know, it's funny. I get killed for, like, and you kill me, Eddie, for being a tank guy, and then you're like, oh, we'll just tank the season away for next year. Like,
don't tank at 1-8, but before the season, plan a year and a half in advance.
You guys are crazy. I want to tank after the season's dead. I don't want to tank before the draft and free agency. You can't play this game where you wait for the perfect quarterback. It doesn't work. And the idea that Manning, we have no idea what Manning's going to be. I know he's projected to do this, projected to do that. Who knows? I know his last name, and I'm sure he's got ability, and he's already signed an NIL deal for billions of dollars. Like, I get it. I'm sure he's going to be good, but he's throwing like 45 passes in college right now. I don't know what he's going to be. I have no idea what he's going to be, or if he'll even come out next year. What if he has an injury that he misses 4 or 5 games? Even if he's good, he might not be a top draft pick, and he might wait. He's making money in college. He'll say, no, I'll wait. I'll play one more year, and I'll be the top pick next year. Like, we have no idea. You can't
play
that game.
NIL deals at Texas can be worth a heck of a lot of money.
A heck of a lot of money for a kid named Manning? He's not in a rush to join the NFL. He's not worried about having an injury and costing him money. I don't even know if he's going to come out next year. There's no guarantee he will. I can't play that game. I can't play it. Now, look, I believe Joe Shane and Brian Daboll will not draft a quarterback that they don't believe in. I do believe that. I think integrity. That's the word I was looking for. I do believe they have integrity. I do believe Joe Shane has integrity, and he will not do something just to save his job. I do believe that. I'm not. I don't know if he's the greatest GM who's ever lived. Clearly he's not. I don't know if he'll do a good enough job this year to keep his job. Maybe he won't. But I do think he has integrity and won't just make a decision based solely on will this keep me as the general manager for the New York Giants. I really don't believe so. I do not think they will draft a quarterback they don't believe in. But if they believe in one, you have to take them now. You can't wait and play the game. And here's your point. Like, if you guys are right, and Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward suck, and they're not good with poor offensive line play, and they get poor offensive line play, and they lose with the tough schedule, and it's a disaster, and they win three or four games to the point where Brian Daboll and Joe Shane get fired, then you know what? And the next quarterback class is great, and Manning, and this or that, then they'll be at the top of the draft, and the next regime will draft a quarterback. We've seen it before. The Arizona Cardinals did it. They drafted Rosen. The next year, they were a disaster. They finished with the first overall pick, and they drafted Murray. They had a new coach. New coach came in and drafted Murray. If the Giants draft Shedeur Sanders, he's terrible. They win two games, and they fire Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and this next new regime is walks into the first or second pick, they'll draft a quarterback. And when that happens, I will be screaming to draft a quarterback because you need to find the quarterback. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not okay with losing and having a two-win season again, but if that's what happens, I will be screaming for the same thing. Draft a quarterback. Because until you have one, you don't. And you need one. If you don't have it, that's why you need it. If you get hurt and miss work, it won't hurt to miss work. One of the great AFWAC commercials ever with Yogi Berra. 888-808-1019. Tommy in Brooklyn. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's up, my brother? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. Thank you for making it.
So, yeah. So I feel like I'm the only, like, optimistic Giant fan out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I 100% agree with everything you were saying about drafting a quarterback. I think you're right. What I feel like a lot of Giant fans aren't paying attention to is Tracy ran for 1,000 rushing yards.
Yeah.
He only played 15 games. And he split carries. Neighbors played 15 games, and over 1,000 receiving yards, killed it.
Yep.
Against defenses that were only playing the pass. They weren't even playing the run.
Right.
And that's with backup quarterback.
Yep.
I know the offensive line play wasn't good, but we were in like 7 of those games that we lost.
Early on,
bunch of games. Yeah. All we need is just an okay quarterback. We don't need to have the next Joe Namath. We just, someone better than Drew Locke, and we win those games. We're there. It sounds crazy to say it, but I feel like we are there. We had rookie stud defensive players. I mean, we had the cornerback and the safety of them driving home at work, and the names and losing them. But they were nominated for defensive players of the year.
Yeah, Drew Phillips was, I believe he was the second highest for the PF rankings.
These guys are rookies. They're going to be good this year. Burns, Thibodeau, Sexy Dexy. This is a solid roster that all we need is just an okay quarterback. And honestly, I think Sanders, okay, he's not a huge prospect. He's going to be incredible. But he just has to be better than Drew Locke. He has to extend these plays. Anyone that can extend these plays one extra second, two extra seconds, it opens up the whole field. It opens up everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's you know, Tommy, because you're talking, you're not saying things that are crazy, but the end of the year got so bad, other than the stupid win against the Colts. The end of the year started getting blown out, and it's just it's hard to have faith in this team, but you're not wrong necessarily. Like, Malik Nabers did have a really damn good rookie year without any real good quarterback play. Tracy was able to, the offensive line is so terrible, behind Bucky Irving, he was the second best rookie running back in the sport. Like, I mean, you're right.
And that's him splitting carries.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. And they do have some young kids in the defensive backfield who played well their rookie seasons. Obviously, Sexy Dexy is as good an interior defensive lineman as there is in the sport. Burns can get after the quarterback. I don't know, if he's worth all the money they paid him. I don't think he's a world class edge rusher, but he's pretty damn good. I mean, it's not crazy to think this roster can be fixed relatively easy. Like, I don't think they're that far away. As bad as it's been, I don't think they're that far away. But I also don't think they're close enough to go spend for a 37-year-old quarterback. Like, there's that, it's like a fine line where I think they're a couple years away. I think the quarterback play will help and they'll win some games and be better. But that's not, when you bring in a veteran quarterback and pay him the kind of money that Stafford's going to get paid, it's not about improving. It's about winning now. And I don't think the Giants are there, but I do think the Giants aren't that far off from just being a normal, average football team. Like, you're talking about they were in this game, they were in that game. I don't disagree. Hey, they got this player, they got that player. I don't disagree. They won three games. Like, the leap isn't going to be to 10 or 11. And maybe it is by the hand of God. Maybe it is, right? We saw that kind of leap from Washington. It's not out of the realm of possibility if Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward are legit. If they are the truth, if they are him, as the kids say, then yes, you could see it being that that you could see it being that kind of turnaround. But I'm just looking. I want to build. I still want to build. I still believe in the rebuild. Like, and that's what I was saying when they kept Shane and Dable. Like, that's what I hated about the press conference after from John Mara, because John Mara made it seem like this was the message after John Mara's press conference. These guys have one more chance to win. And I felt like that shouldn't have been the message or how John Mara thinks about it. The message and how John Mara should feel about it is these guys have one more chance at their rebuild. That's what it should have been. Because one more chance to win, right? Win what, how much, it's arbitrary. Because the last time they won, it didn't really help the building process and really help them win. Like, that year hurt them, and Joe Shane said it again. The decisions they made after that year are part of the reason they're here today with three wins and the third overall pick. So I don't want just one more year of, hey, let's figure out a way to win with these guys. It should be, hey, I believed in their process on how to build a team. We got sidetracked after year one, a couple of bad decisions, an unlucky break with an offensive lineman from Alabama that everybody thought was going to be good, who was a bust. Like, a couple of different things hurt us. The quarterback who we paid $40 million to was a disaster. I still believe in their process. I think last year was a really good draft. I think that this coach was coach of the year, and I still believe he can coach offense, and I know he can develop a quarterback. So, you know what? It's unorthodox, and I know a lot of fans are going to disagree, but I'm giving them another chance to rebuild this team in their vision. That's what it should have been, as opposed to, I'm really mad. I'm as mad as you are. Although he's so soft-spoken, it's hard to even, that's a terrible John Mara impression. But that's what he wanted to make sure he was clear on. He's angry. He's had enough. He's fed up just like you. Just like you, plain flying psychos who love your New York Giants. I feel exactly the same. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. But I'm giving them one more year to make me happy. And I hated that message. I hated that message. It should have been, hey, things didn't work out. Daniel Jones really hurt us. Signing him, we felt like we had to, and it hurt us. You know, we've had some busts with the draft, but the last draft's been good. I believe in the coach. I believe in the message. I believe in what they're telling me. I believe they're in the process of building a young team that can win, and I'm going to give them another crack at starting this from day one and building a championship quality roster. And then we wouldn't have these questions about what do they have to do, and what do they have to do to save their jobs, and should they sign a veteran quarterback, and what if they draft a quarterback, and what if they do this, and how do they save their jobs, and are they going to be predicated on only saving their jobs, and blah, 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 blah. We could have saved ourselves a lot of time and a lot of effort if John Mara just said, hey, they get another chance at the rebuild. We're going to start from scratch. We feel like that's our best option. I trust these guys. And I've gone and made decisions, and I've gone and fired guys after 2 years, and I haven't had belief. And you know what? I believed in these guys, and I hired them for a reason. I'm going to let them see it through. But instead, we're here today wondering what the hell they're going to do, and should they lose for Archie Manning, and how do they keep their jobs, and should they keep their jobs, and all that crap.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Da-da-da. All right, how are we doing at 134? McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888 808-1019. On this Wednesday morning, I made a mistake in the open. I apologize. It's Wednesday. I should know that yesterday was Tuesday, and of course I had basketball practice. So we have three coaches, right? I'm coaching my son's C7. Fundamental. And the emphasis and the FUN is capitalized in fundamental. So it's the fundamental basketball team. I am the assistant coach. There's the head coach, my guy Brian.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
And then our other neighbor, Mark, is the assistant head coach. And Brian texts me on Saturday, he's like, I'm not going to be able to make it on Tuesday night. You mind? I'm going to drop off, you know, the ball bag with all the balls in it and all the stuff we need. We actually put down numbers on the floor, 1 through 5. We play a 2-1-2 zone, and the kids have to have one foot on the number at all times. Because you're trying to allow the other teams to dribble a little bit and pass. Otherwise, they'd be stealing passes and knocking balls out of everyone's hand every 2 seconds. So they have to stay on these numbers. So there's like the number different. So I was like, yeah, sure, drop off the bag. And then today, the other coach is like, sorry, everyone here is sick, can't make it. I'm like, I got 13 7-year-olds all by myself. I had to take my mother to the doctor's office today, so I didn't get much sleep. So I'm like on no sleep, and I got and it's the last practice of the year, and we haven't had practice in 2 weeks because the school has been closed because the school was off, and when the school is off, you can't have practice. So we have not played a game or practiced in 2 weeks. So I got 12 7-year-olds who have already forgotten what basketball practice is because it's been 2 weeks. They show up running around like maniacs. They don't remember anything about practice at all. I'm doing it all by myself. Not fun. Not fun. Although there is that moment when you just go, okay, so it's not just me. Kids just don't listen. It's okay. It's not just my two kids. Just in general. It's hard to get through to 7-year-olds when they're bouncing a ball around and telling them to stop or come over here, line, get into a straight line. We were doing, I had them doing layup drills. And so I had the line on the right was doing the layups, the right and the line on the left is getting the rebound, passing it to the line. You switch which line you're on after the shot and rebound, blah, blah. They kind of get that idea. But what is driving me absolutely bonkers is the two lines keep getting closer and closer and closer together. Like they can't just stay in the line and I'm helping them get rebounds, I'm helping the shooter. I look over and like the two lines are right next to each other. I'm like, guys, over there and you over there. Now stay in line. It's just in one ear and out the other. Then they're yelling at each other, they're running around, they're playing tag. I'm just like, and of course, you know, I don't know about when you grew up or when I grew up, I don't remember exactly, but every parent is there. It's the practices have as many people in the stands as the games do, because the parents don't just drop off the kids and leave. The parents come and sit. So like, not only am I practicing with a bunch of 11 or 12 7-year-olds who don't listen, but I feel like I'm being watched and judged by the entire group of parents who are like, my God, this guy has no idea what he's doing. And you're right. I have no idea what I'm doing. Maybe one of you want to come down here and help me. All of you with your Stanley water bottles. But we had fun. It was good. It was a great day. Then I got home and I just, enough to watch the Rangers take care of the Islanders. Couple of big wins after that, disastrous. Now and the Islanders, after winning 8 of 9, have now lost 4 in a row and are fading down the stretch here. The Rangers, who came back and just absolutely got their doors blown off in Buffalo for the first game after the tournament, they have now back-to-back, you know, good wins. A good win against Pittsburgh, you know, came from behind, battled back. Big game-winning goal from Adam Fox, who's kind of in the crosshairs of the fan base right now. And then they followed up with a good, decisive victory over the Islanders in the UBS Arena out on Long Island last night. So the Rangers are now still 2 points back of a playoff spot, 1-2 out of the last three. JT Miller has made a major difference. He got a third goal, his fifth goal as a New York Ranger since the trade. And the fourth line played extremely well for the Rangers, and Rempe was making a difference, getting in front of the goal. He's still waiting on Chris Kreider to come back with a back injury. So this is it, the playoff push, trade deadline in less than 2 weeks. See if Chris Drury does anything to add to this team. After the Buffalo game, you thought maybe not. The last two wins have been a little bit more enjoyable and a little bit more rewarding and maybe a little bit more decisive to add to this team as opposed to break it all down. 888-808-1019. Let's talk to John in Franklin Square real quick. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
First time caller. Long time. This, I'm just calling to... did you know Al Chadwick since he went to Cary High School also?
I did not know him. I knew he went to Cary High School. My baseball coach at the time, Mr. Walpole, he was there long enough where he actually was a teacher there when Al Troutwig went there. So Al Troutwig was kind of the most famous, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, certainly in New York. I mean, he was the most famous alum of my high school. So I was aware that Al Troutwig went there. I learned that in like 11th or 12th grade. But I never got a chance to meet him, never got a chance to talk to him. But yes, we did both grow up in Franklin Square and went to the same high school.
Yeah, my son also went there. It's pretty cool.
Your son went to Cary?
He went to Cary, played baseball.
What year did he graduate?
2011.
Okay, yeah, no, a little. Obviously, I'm 2001, so he's 10 years behind me. But yeah, no, and the football program has taken off since I left. They've been a very good football team. I believe they just won the Long Island Championship this past year. So go yes. Hawks, go Seahawks.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that it? Anything else, or just the Al Trout Week?
That's it. It was all about Al Trout.
Thank you, John. Yeah, no, the great Al Trout Week. I mean, for someone who grew up, in the 90s on MSG, that's where everything was. If you were a Knicks fan, if you're like myself, a Yankee fan, Knicks fan, Ranger fan, that's where you got all your sports on MSG. He was the voice of the city in many ways. And obviously, I grew up knowing Al Troutwig and being a fan of Al Troutwig before I knew he went to my high school. But then I was like, wow, Al Troutwig went there. That's cool. And then I mentioned Cool Runnings, and I told him we were watching, and I completely forgot he was in the movie. Completely forgot. My son was having a science project, and it had to be Olympic-themed, and we made a bobsled. Like, that was the Olympic-themed science project that he made. And so we were sitting around one day with nothing to watch, and we were talking about the science project. I'm like, why don't we watch Cool Runnings? It's got my man John Candy in it. It's about bobsleds. So we put it on, and I completely forgot that Al Troutwig is one of the Olympic, in the movie, he's one of the Olympic broadcasters. And I literally stopped the movie to tell them about Al Troutwig. He went to Daddy's high school. He used to do the Knick Ranger games and Yankee games. You know, I gave them like a little 5-minute crash course on who Al Troutwig was. That was like just a month ago. But yeah, grew up loving Al Troutwig. And yes, we both grew up in Cary, different times, obviously. He was, whenever you talk about Franklin Square or certain parts of Long Island to older people, and, I don't want to say, 68, unfortunately, way too young. But you talk to people in their 60s and 70s about, I remember when this was farmland as far as the eye can see. They're all Doc Brown from Back to the Future. This used to be farmland as far as the eye can see. We would ride our horses up and sometimes that's how Long Island is talked about from the older generation. Rob in Farmingdale, who might know. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. How you doing? I just wanted to touch on the Giants. I think they would be pretty crazy, actually, to pass up on Travis Hunter if he's there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the generational talent they're talking about. I feel like he could be the next Deion Sanders. I say you go get Travis Hunter if he's available. And go get Justin Fields. I don't know why they're not talking about Justin Fields, but
probably because he's not very good.
I don't know, man. I think he's got a lot of talent, and I don't know. I have faith in him. I think.
Here's what I'll say, Rob. I'm not going to dismiss your opinion on him, and we'll get to the Travis Hunter point too. And thank you for the call. I don't want to dismiss your opinion, Rob, on Justin Fields, but I'll take Mike Tomlin's over yours. And Mike Tomlin had a 4-2 record the first 6 games of the year and was winning with him, and then still decided to go to Russell Wilson. And then at the end of the year, when Russell Wilson was clearly fading and the offense was sputtering and they were, just limping into the postseason, he still didn't make a change and go back to him. So I think that speaks volumes. You know, Chicago is obviously happy to move on from him once they got the. Now they did it. They did do it for the first overall pick and Caleb Williams, who is a very highly touted pick. So it's not like they just did it for anybody. But still, they were happy to get rid of him. Pittsburgh was winning games with him and still decided to move on from him. And I have no problem with him being the. And I heard Sean Marash say this today, and I think he's 100% right. I think that's the Giants aren't going to do that. Unless they view him as someone who's going to win football games and not draft a quarterback, but they've talked about, and Shane talked about it a lot, the idea of drafting the young quarterback and bringing in the veteran to guide him. So you either bring in the Matthew Staffords of the world and maybe the Justin Fields, because Justin Fields doesn't fall into that category of, shaping a young quarterback. He's a young quarterback himself. He's got some experience, no doubt, started some games, but he's not the kind of guy you would bring in to help mold the young quarterback. You bring in Stafford, he's too good. You don't draft the young quarterback. You try and win and go get either Hunter or Abdul Carter or whoever you can, the best player in the draft at the third pick. and then try and win with Matthew Stafford, or you go Sam Darnold, or you go Justin Fields, and you think that that could be your guy, and you draft the young guy and have options on what could happen. It doesn't feel like the Giants are going to do that. Like, there's two ways to go about drafting the young quarterback and bringing in a bridge quarterback. There's two ways to go, and it sounds like the Giants are more in the camp of get a veteran who's been around a while, Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, I don't know, Derek Carr. I don't know, some of these guys who've been around a while and mentor the young quarterback and at some point make the switch to the young quarterback. I've always talked about the other option of getting a viable option to be your future quarterback as well as draft a quarterback. That's where I fall into the Sam Darnolds, the Justin Fields. You bring them in as well as draft a young quarterback, and then it's kind of whoever wins out. Kind of like Minnesota did with J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold. Now we'll see what they decide. But if you bring in Justin Fields and draft a young quarterback, theoretically, I'm open to the idea of Justin Fields just winning the job. If he plays well enough and we're all wrong about him and Mike Tomlin was wrong about him and they win 10, 11 games and he puts up a really incredible season and it clicks with him and Dable and they win a bunch of games, then I'm fine with just moving on with Fields. He's young enough. He's good enough. I can just have him be my... I'm just trying to find the future quarterback. And if Justin Fields is the guy, then I'll trade Sanders or I'll figure something out. Like, that's fine. Same thing with Sam Darnold. If he comes in and just clicks with Brian Dable and he plays great and leads them to 10 wins and wins playoff games and doesn't see ghosts and all that nonsense, then Sam Darnold's my guy. He's young enough. I'll pay him. As long as he's a good quarterback, I have no problem paying him. So then I pay him. He's still 26 or whatever he is, and I move forward with Sam Darnold. But it doesn't sound like that's the kind of dual quarterback thing that Joe Shane wants to do. Joe Shane either wants to bring in the Matthew Staffords or maybe a Sam Darnold and take their chance with that quarterback, or bring in a veteran that they don't expect to be their future while he mentors the young quarterback. And I think that's what they're going to do. Now, as far as just drafting Hunter or drafting Abdul Carter or whatever, I'm not opposed to it, I guess, if they don't believe in one of the two quarterbacks. That's what it comes down to for me. If they think Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward can be a future franchise quarterback and win you a Super Bowl and be your guy for the next 12 to 15 years, then I need them. And that's what I want to do. If they don't believe in that, I don't want to trade back. I don't want to accumulate picks. I want to get the great player. So if they don't believe in Ward, or they don't believe in Sanders, or they don't believe in Jackson Dart, or they don't believe in Milrow or anybody else, that they're worth a third overall pick, then I want to take Hunter or Carter. But my first choice is to take that quarterback. Jason in Waterbury. What's up, Jason?
Yo, what's up, Chris, man? It's good to talk to you. Definitely going to miss Al Troutwig. Listen, the Giants should do two things. It's so simple what they should do.
Okay.
They should either bring in Rodgers, sign Rodgers right away, maybe try to work something out to bring Adams here, or without a doubt sign Sam Darnold. He's only 27, and if Dave Ball's as great with quarterbacks as, you know, you think he is, or I think he could be better with, you know, Darnold's the guy without a doubt. He's only 26 or 27.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign him to a multi-year deal. And like I said, he's got a lot of upside, Darnold. They probably should have drafted him in the draft in 2018. So those are the two easy things. Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I love Stafford, but he's probably a better fit for the Jets because the Jets are in a little better position to win. But
I agree.
If you bring Rodgers here, the Giants could win. If you bring Darnold in here, the Giants could win. And they got money to spend in the cap. You know, you're going to draft some pretty decent players. So those are the two guys those are the only two guys at quarterback that the Giants should be looking at. And they made a big mistake last year because they should have took Penix. We love him, whatever, he's a good player. But they had Penix sitting there. I don't like McCarthy, so whatever with him. But they had Penix sitting there right for the taking, and they let the Falcons take him. I don't even know why they were interested in taking Neighbors. Penix was the guy. So now that they stalled it and they didn't take him, you got to go you got to go bring Rodgers in here, or you got to bring Darnold in here.
Yeah.
That's my take.
I don't disagree with you, Jason. And I do, and I listen, as much I agree with you, as much as I love Neighbors and he's great. Looking back on the season right now, how could you say you wouldn't rather have them take Penix or what's his name out in Denver that I can't think of his name right now? Bo Nix. Thank you, Ryan. already a massive impact on the program. I as much as I love Neighbors right now, don't you think the Giants would be better off if they took Penix or Bo Nix? I wish they would have. But they didn't. We can't look back on it. So moving forward, honestly, I think my dream, I think best case scenario for the Giants, the thing that would excite me the most is drafting a quarterback and signing Aaron Rodgers. I think that's what if you told me you could pick what you want to do with the quarterback position, I could have my choice. Now, it is predicated on the idea that Joe Shane loves one of the two quarterbacks. I don't have a strong opinion, but I lean Cam Ward. So if you told me Brian Daboll loves Cam Ward, then my dream, the best case scenario for the New York Giants, what I would love to see the New York Giants do, and even if this takes trading up to one to get him, I'm open to that, trade up to one. My dream is Cam Ward, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is your starting quarterback. I think there's enough talent there offensively. I think the offensive line can be good enough. Aaron Rodgers throwing to Malik Nabers, mentoring Cam Ward, trying to win football games. If he does, he plays out the year. If he doesn't, eventually Cam Ward takes over at week somewhere between 8 and 10, and you move forward. That's my ideal situation for the New York Giants. That's what would get me the most excited. Because I think a chip on the shoulder of Aaron Rodgers, a year removed from that injury, I think he's going to be better this year. I do. I think he's going to be better this year. I'm not going to bet against Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you guys want to, and you Jet fans who are fed up with him and you know how poorly it went last year, everyone wants to get rid of him. I would not. If you told me Aaron Rodgers is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL next year, I would not be surprised. I really wouldn't. I would not be surprised. I'm not saying it's likely. I wouldn't bet on it, but it would not even come close to shocking me. This is a guy who loves proving people wrong. They got off to a slow start, and they pulled the coach out, and it was a disaster. That ruined the team. And the defense went to absolute crap. Give me Aaron Rodgers. Give me Cam Ward. Let's go. Even bring in Devontae Adams. What the hell? Bring the whole, you know, is Randall Cobb busy? Bring him in too. I don't care. 888-808-1019. One more call. Jack in Deer Park. What's up, Jack?
I was going to bed and I heard you talking about coaching these 7-year-old kids.
Yes.
I got eight kids, 7 boys, 1 girl. I'm going back 30 years. Just listen to me. I was hysterical laughing what you're saying. You have them making two lines on both sides passing and running down, and before you know it, you're looking, and it's one line, and you're saying, what are these kids doing? They're crazy. You know, you got one or two kids that are always going to be better than a lot of the kids because they got older brothers or sisters.
Right.
The bottom line is, Chris, it's probably the one of the most rewarding things
no
you'll
doubt.
Ever. You'll ever do in life. Yeah, listen. Let me just finish because I know what happens. They're throwing the water on the court. The parents don't do anything.
You just nailed it. They were dancing in a puddle that they got from the water.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah,
then the parents become the coaches when it's game time. They don't want to help you.
Yeah.
They see you struggling.
Yeah.
They're throwing balls at each other. But you know what? Before you know it, it's the most rewarding thing. And as you get older, I coached for 30 years because I had all these kids.
Yeah.
Okay, then they get into a different level. Then they're going to travel. I coached at Dix Hills and St. Matt's program. The long story short is down the road when they go, hey, coach, how you doing? Hey, coach, how you doing? It makes everything worthwhile. I was going to bed and I heard you and I had a call.
Yeah.
I was hysterical laughing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And I already got that today from one of the kids on the team who looked at me and said, where's the real coach? And I said, I guess that's not me. You know, Coach Brian couldn't make it today. I mean, I've been here for every practice. I know I'm not the head coach, but he looked right at me and said, where's our real coach? I
was like, yeah, because you know what? They look at you guys like you're gone. And I got to be honest with you. As crazy as it might seem, and they run up and down, and you're trying, and then you go to foul shots, and you're trying to, and they can't reach the basket, and they're making fun, and they're spitting, and they're throwing balls at each other. It's got to be the best time of your life. I'm telling you.
I understand, Jack. I do. Believe me. I'm kidding. I hope everyone understands. Like, when I complain about this stuff, I'm well aware. I do it. It's not like I don't have to do it. I don't have to coach the basketball team. I'm sitting here in, right now in my Warwick basketball sweatshirt. I do it because I want to. So I have some fun with it, and I'll tell the stories, and it comes off funnier if I complain about it. But, like, I'm well aware, because, like, every time I tell the story, I feel like people call up and, like, but you gotta, it's the best time of your life. Like, I'm not miserable with it. I'm just having a little fun on the radio. I'm trying to, you know, tell a funny story, amusing story. I'm well aware why I'm doing it and what I'm doing it for. And, of course, it's I'm going to miss it. There's no doubt. When they're older and you're like, they want nothing to do with you, and, Dad, can I have the car keys, right? The old cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. Like, sure, when they don't want anything to do with you, and people tell me that all the time. Like, right now, I you know, they won't stop. Right now, again, for whatever reason, they've really gotten into the wrestling kick again. It cooled off. I thought it was, you know, gone. During football season, they were so into football and sports, and wrestling took a backseat. Now, for whatever reason, since the Royal Rumble, I guess, they've been crazy wrestling. Everything's wrestling. We're picking who's going to win the Raw matches, and he's writing it down, trying to have like a fantasy thing, because we were doing our own fantasy teams during the playoffs, where we were having our own little family draft and everything. So now it's wrestling, and the whole week they were off. Daddy, wrestle with me. Daddy, wrestle with me. So I'm wrestling with them, and, you know, eventually I'm just like, this is why I made two of you. Go play. You don't need me. Andrew, I made you to play. That's why we have the both of you. Go play. And I'm well aware there'll be a moment where they want nothing to do with me, and I'll long for the days where they're like, Daddy, come play. Daddy, come play. But Daddy's back hurts because Daddy was bent over trying to, you know, pick up Andrew to do a move, and you walked by and smashed me in the back in my spine as hard as you possibly could. So now, no, I don't want to wrestle. You got to give me a half hour. I mean, just both hands down in the middle of my back for no apparent reason. Crazy. It was rough. Still feeling it. Break? You sure? Okay. Because I can go on forever, baby. 888-808-1019, 158. Marco knows what it's like. Marco knows. Have you coached any? Have you been a coach yet? These hours are tough to coach, though. I'm blessed that I don't sleep, but I am home to coach.
No, I have no interest in that. I would avoid it like the plague. I did have to help out once during T-ball, and I was kind of like, why am I doing this and standing on the field?
Oh, the T-ball is the best.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, love that.
No, T-ball is the absolute pits. Nothing is worse than T-ball.
I have zero interest in coaching in any of that.
And the problem is the kids have zero interest in the T-ball. Like, when they're out in the field, they don't care. They're picking at the grass. You know, they barely have their gloves on.
It's like soccer where if the actual ball actually does move, either you don't see it at all, or everyone goes towards it, including the kid that hit it.
Oh, yeah. They just run the ball. They have no idea. All right. Ryan, you could tell the Ryan's very serious. He's making sure I break.
Well, I mean, we're talking about T-ball and the fact that you're fat and getting hit in the back. So, I mean, like, you know.
Well, when did we talk about me being fat?
Well, I just think I think the fat has something to do with getting shot in the back with the kid. I think you need a half hour. I think part of it's because you're fat.
I didn't say anything about fat.
Oh, no. I was inferring because I think that's part of it. I think that's the reason why your back hurts.
You said we were talking about it. No, I got smacked in the back.
Well, and I think part of the reason why you're in such pain is because you're fat.
Wow. Man, just straight out forward said it.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.